Well, good evening, all.
Good evening.
Nice to see y'all here. I hope y'all are all right to be here. And even if you're not, I hope you'll be all right when you leave. That's the way it goes sometimes. So, tonight in our Sunday evening subjects, we're going to talk a little bit about the burial of Christ, since we are in a Passion Week, and we're going to talk a little bit of was Jesus in the tomb for 3 days or just for 2 days. And so, why don't we just start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll give a little bit of thought to hopefully this a thought provoking subject. Our Father, we do thank you for the gift of your Spirit. You say that. Said that it was for our good that you went away, because if you didn't go away, the Spirit, the Comforter, would not come. And so we thank you for him and for his presence, for revealing yourself to us by your Spirit, for making us born again, and for giving us a gift of faith, and for walking beside us during our walk of faith. Lord, we would ask for the presence of your Spirit here, that we might apply our minds to your word, that we could grow thereby and would be encouraged in our faith. And I pray this in the name of our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Like I said, we're going to look a little bit about the burial of Christ, or kind of specifically how long he was in the tomb tonight. For me, it's a little bit of a thought-provoking a subject, especially during this week of the year. But the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ really is the event in history. Our calendar revolves around that event, the life of our Lord, and really all of history, the events that happened during this week, all those years ago. It is the crux, the center point of history. Everything points to it. And you might say it is the sign of all times. It's the sign of history. It's the one big event to which all of history points. And when our Lord came, he did a lot of signs. And if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. We're going to look at just a few verses in Matthew to start off here. But the people were wanting Jesus to do a sign. And this is right after they were saying that he was of the devil. And well, let's back up and look at verse 38 of chapter 12 in Matthew. It says, "Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to him, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' And he answered, 'A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.'" He goes, okay, you're not really going to get any other signs, or this is the big sign, the sign of the prophet Jonah. Which is this: "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So our Lord clearly says this is kind of the sign of all signs, the sign of Jonah, that he was going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. This is not the only time he mentioned this sign. In fact, we'll just look at a couple more in Matthew. Matthew 16:21, as our Lord in his ministry, very, very often he would speak of his going to Jerusalem and being killed. Matthew 16:21, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law. He must be killed, and on the third day raised again." The next chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, he repeats the same thing. When they came together to Galilee, he said, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and when they'll kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. You can see the same thing in Matthew 20, verses 18 and 19. And so this sign of Jonah, he says, okay, this is the sign that just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so he was going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. He spoke often about this, very open about this. In fact, he was so open about it that even his enemies really grabbed on to this teaching. Look at Matthew 27. Just to establish here what our Lord said about his own death, or really his burial. Matthew 27, verses 62 to 66. This is right after the death of Christ, and his initial burial. They've taken him off the cross. Joseph of Arimathea has put him in his own new tomb. And then look at verse 62. The next day, the day after the crucifixion, the one after the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, the disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he had been raised from the dead. And this last deception will be worse than the first. And so again, our Lord was very open and often said, hey, it's 3 days and three nights. I'm going to be in the tomb 3 days. Even those that hated him and killed him said, hey, we remember he said that. He said it quite a bit. In fact, they were so concerned about it, they went to Pilate and said, hey, you got to make sure and guard this tomb for 3 days, because he said in 3 days I'm coming back. Now, the reason I set up with this is because this Friday is what do we call it? It's Good Friday, because traditionally it's held that was the day of the week that Jesus died. And so we call it Good Friday. That traditionally is the day, you say, is the day of his death. But let me ask you something. Does Good Friday bother you in any way? Is there anything about Jesus dying on Friday and being raised on Sunday that doesn't quite sit well?
Part of 3 days, but not nights.
Yeah, it's how do you get 3 days and three nights? If he died on Friday, you got Friday, you got Saturday, and he came out of the tomb on Sunday. Now I just to let you know something about myself. I'm an inquisitive person, and my wife will confess or state that I'm also a nonconformist. So I'm kind of drawn towards controversy and things, and if everybody goes in one direction, it makes me question that direction, and I'd really like to go in the other direction. That's just kind of the way that I'm wired, and so you got to watch me on this, because that is the way that I am. And the scripture says, you know, we need to be careful not to stir a pot that doesn't need to be stirred, and we're not to have disputes over questionable matters. And so I do want to be a little bit careful here, but if Jesus did die on Friday, it does appear that he was only in the tomb 2 days and two nights. Now, the traditional explanation of this is that, well, he was in the tomb for parts of 3 days. He was there for part of Friday and all of Saturday and part of Sunday. And so if you count it like that, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you get 3 days, but there's no way you could get three nights. You know, that's just, there's just no way you can make that work. Another explanation is that he was raised on the third day. That is, he died, and then on the third day later, so you count that third day, which would have been Sunday, and raised from the dead. But again, how do we get 3 days and three nights from Friday evening to early Sunday morning, where we know that he was raised from the dead? Y'all ever struggle with that at all? At one point in my Christian life, I had a skeptic, and this was one of the things. This is one of the contradictions in the Bible he came to me with. You know, the Bible contradicts itself. You say he died on Friday. Jesus said 3 days and three nights. You cannot make the math work. So let's just think about this just a little bit. First of all, why Friday? You know, why do we say in just our traditional circles that Jesus died on Friday? Y'all know the
days before their Sabbath.
It was the day before the Sabbath when he was on the cross. And remember the chief priests, they say, hey, we need to break their legs. We want to get them off the cross before the Sabbath. And their Sabbath started in the evening. So, hey, let's break their legs, make sure they're dead, get them off the cross, because they didn't want them on the cross for the Sabbath because the next day was a Sabbath. You can read Mark 15:42. It says that their Sabbath begins in the evening. And so it's this pretty simple, easy assumption that since the Jewish Sabbath was the seventh day of the week, or would correspond to our Saturday, then Jesus obviously would have had to die on Friday because it was the day, the day before the Jewish Sabbath. Excuse me, my lunch is unsettled. Turn to John 19. Because I do think that is an obvious conclusion. Jesus died before the Sabbath, and so since Saturday's the Sabbath, it had to be a Friday. But could there be an expanded explanation of this? Look at John 19 and verse 31. And again, this is open for a talk, and if we want to settle in on some of this here a bit. John 19:31. And now it was, go up to the next verse. Here we see that Jesus died, verse 30. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up the spirit. Now it was the day of preparation. And the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. Now I'm reading out of the New NIV here, and mine says it was a special Sabbath. Does some of y'all have either a high day or what high day? What are some of your other translations? Do y'all have something else besides? I don't remember what. What did yours say, darling?
Mine says therefore, because it was a preparation day. The
preparation today, and the next day was what kind of a Sabbath?
A high day.
Okay, so here John tells us that the day after the death of Christ was a high day, a special Sabbath. Now, there were other Sabbaths in the Jewish calendar other than just the weekly Sabbath. They had every week there was a Sabbath. The seventh day of every week, that was always a Sabbath. That was a holy day. But just like in our calendar, we have a lot of holidays or holy days. So they too had other special days and special holidays or holy days. And these holy days landed on dates and not on days of the week. Okay, their weekly Sabbath was always the seventh day of the week. Now, every week they had a weekly Sabbath, which was the seventh day of the week. But then during their religious calendar, there were other holy days that the scripture says it always landed on certain dates, regardless of what day of the week. And those two were considered Sabbaths. I mean, we have that in our calendar. You know, it's like what day of the week does July 4th land on? July 4th is a holiday for us every year, right? So what day of the week is July 4th?
Different every year.
It's different every year. Whatever day of the week July 4th lands on, that is our, you know, some people get off work, that's a federal holiday, that's always a holiday, regardless whether it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, whatever the day, it's always a holiday because that's the date. You know, our Thanksgiving, is it always on a date or a day?
Day.
It's always a day. It's always on that Thursday in November. What is it, 3rd November? Third November. Now, if we had a 3rd November, that would be something, the 3rd Thursday in November. But it's always on a certain day. But Christmas Is it on a certain day or is it on a certain date? It's on, it's a date. It's always just December 25th, regardless of what day of the week that it was. That's the way our calendar works and our holidays. The same thing with the Jewish calendar and the Jewish holidays. They always had a weekly Sabbath, always on a Saturday. The seventh day of the week, that was a Sabbath. But there were also certain Sabbaths, certain holy days that always landed on certain dates. And so on the Jewish calendar, you could have a back-to-back Sabbath. You could have one Sabbath right next to another Sabbath, depending on what day of the week it landed on. It's like our, if you get a three-day weekend, if July 4th lands on a Friday, you know, we have our normal weekend, Saturday and Sunday, that's just every week, but if we get a holiday that lands on Friday or lands on Monday, we get a three-day weekend. We get an extra long rest at the end of our week because the special holiday lands on that day of the week, and that's because that's the date that it does. And so this is what's going on here. So this is what I'm going to submit, that the day after Jesus died was a high day, was a special day, was a unique kind of a Sabbath, not the weekly Sabbath, but it was a special holiday, a special Sabbath. Now let's turn to the book of Leviticus 23, and let's just see if I can bear this out. Am I communicating that clear enough so far, at least setting this up?
You are, but I'd like to know where you get
it. Okay, that's where we're going to go. Because I freely admit I'm a nonconformist. Leviticus 23, and we're just going to read verses 5 and 7. This is on the Passover. Because we all know that Jesus died at the Passover, right? I mean, he had the Passover meal, the night of. And then was crucified the next day, the day of the Passover. We know when he died, it was at the time of the Passover, which was a special holiday period. In fact, it was a week-long holiday. And so let's look at the regulations for the Passover here. In Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 4. These are the Lord's appointed festivals and sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed time. So he's going to go and he's going to list their festivals. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. So what, the Passover, does it always on a day or a date? It's a date. And what date is the Passover? The 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's festival of unleavened bread begins. For 7 days, you must not eat bread made, you must eat bread made without yeast. And on the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no sacred work. And so here, the regulations for the Passover. The Passover was always on the 14th day of the first month. It was their calendar was, they had a civil calendar and a religious calendar. And the Passover became, this month became their first month in their religious calendar. They had a civil calendar that the month was their new year was actually in our fall. But we do the same thing. We have a school year and then we have a new year. You know, we have two different calendars as well, but they're, here, the 14th day of the first month, that's when the Passover was. What was the day after the Passover? What was on the 15th? The festival of unleavened bread began the day after Passover. And so the 15th day of the first month was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was a special day, and it was a day they were to do no regular work. It was a high day. It was the first day of this festival that lasted for a week. The first day of the festival was a Sabbath, and the last day of the festival was a Sabbath. So the 14th was a special day, the Passover. And the 15th was a special day because it was the first day of the Feast of unleavened bread. And so the day after Passover was always a Sabbath, because the 15th day of the month was always a Sabbath. Look at the number. Someone read Numbers 33:3. Numbers 33:3. And we'll see the significance of this 15th day of what became their first month of their religious calendar, if you will. So Numbers
33:3. Set out from Ramesses on the 15th day of the month, the day after the Passover. They marched out defiantly in full view of all the Egyptians.
Okay, so here in that passage, it's going to kind of give their itinerary on what they did when they marched out. That when the Passover happened, the 10th plague, God killed all the firstborn of Egypt. They said, "Hey, get out of here." The next day, which was the 15th day of the month, they take all the spoils and they leave. And it says it is the 15th day of the month. That was the day they left Egypt. It was a special day. It was a high day. It was a holy day. Remember, they didn't have time to put yeast in their bread, and that's why this Feast of Unleavened Bread and everything. And so the day after Passover was this day that they were redeemed out of Egypt, and they started their trek. Okay, now go back to Exodus 12. Again, just kind of looking at the Passover and this feast. So the Passover is the 14th, right? The next day after Passover, the 15th, is always a holiday. That's because that's the day they left Egypt. Now look at Exodus 12, and this is the passage about the Passover, the first Passover, the last plague, and the, when God established this festival. Let's see here. I'll just begin reading in verse number 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your rest." Again, it's because this, we'll get into too much of this, but this became their religious first month in their religious calendar. Verse 3, "Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share it with their nearest neighbor, taking into account the number of people who are there. And you are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. And the animals that you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, and then all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight." So here's the beginning. This is their first Passover. And on the 10th day of the month, and so they were coming, I guess it was about the 10th day of their month, he says, okay, on this day, the 10th of the month, you choose your Passover lamb. You go and you get the lamb, you get the goat, regulations on what it's to be. But it was the 10th of the month that they picked the Passover lamb. That's when they chose it. Then on the 14th day of the month, is when the Passover was. That was the day that they slaughtered the Passover lamb. The whole community was to come. They were all to participate in this. And so the whole community killed the Passover, and this first Passover. Then they put the blood over the lentils, when God brought the plague, it would pass over the house that had this blood that was shed, the blood of the lamb that was shed on the 14th day of the month. The lamb that was picked on the 10th day of the month. And I'm emphasizing these dates because it's going to hopefully come into focus here in a little bit. Then what happens the day after the Passover? The day after the 15th? The 14th is the 15th. That's when they leave Egypt. And it's the first day of the festival. It goes in and it talks a little bit about this. But they leave the Passover. They pick the lamb on the 10th. The lamb dies on the 14th. They leave on the 15th, and all these dates are very, 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 very significant. Say in Exodus 12, and somebody read verses 40 and 41. Well, 40 to 42.
"Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations.
Okay. Very interesting verse here, because we find out that the day they leave Egypt, which we know from the passage that Margaret read in Numbers 33, which was the 15th day of the first month, that day was the very day 430 years earlier they came into Egypt. They came into Egypt on the 15th day of the month, and they exit Egypt on the 15th day of the month. And in fact, they were to keep a vigil. They were to stay up all night long the night of the Passover, the night before this, because it was the night of the Passover, and they killed the Passover. And so they were to stay up all night long on the 14th to get ready, and then they left on the 15th. And this was a very special day. It's the day they came into Egypt. It was the day that they left Egypt. And the day before they left Egypt was the Passover. Now, you've got to remember, at least in my mind here, the day after Passover was always a Sabbath, regardless of what day of the week it landed on. It was always a holy day. It was always a special day, a high Sabbath, a special Sabbath, like July 4th. It's always a holy day, regardless if it lands on Tuesday or Thursday or Saturday or Monday. It's always a holy day. This 15th day of the first month is a special Sabbath, because that's the day they went into Egypt, and that's the day God brought them out of Egypt, which was the day after the Passover, which was on the 14th day. Now let's apply this to the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus is our Passover lamb. All of the signs and symbols and figures and everything that happened in the Old Testament, Jesus fulfills it all and fulfills it to the letter. In his Passion Week, when he came to at the end to live and to die for us, what time of the year did this happen? I mean, was it just any old time? Was it just, I mean, the scripture tells us it was during Passover. This was the time of the year that it happened. Now, okay, we call today Palm Sunday. Why do we call it Palm Sunday? That when Jesus came, he came in on the donkey. They put their coats and their palm branches on before him. He presented himself to Israel. Israel, as I tried to say, you know, they chose the Passover lamb on Palm Sunday. The whole community, just like in the Passover, on the 10th day of the 10th day of the month. That's when the Jewish community all came together, were choosing the Passover lamb. Sunday, if Sunday was the 10th, fulfilling this figure, the Palm Sunday was the 10th, that was the day they chose Jesus. He is the Passover lamb. The whole community said, this is the guy in the triumphal entry. Now you can... We've got a little bit of time here. So if they chose Jesus on the 10th, maybe I could put this on the, we don't have a screen, but if you just put up a week, well.
Can you write on the board and pull that?
Daniel has some neat things here. Let's see if I can find a, let's see. I'm looking at a marker here. But if Sunday is the 10th, okay. Then we know Jesus died on the 14th, and you count that up. If Sunday was the 10th, then you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday would be the 14th. The 15th, which is always a high and holy special day, that's the day they left Egypt, would be Friday. Saturday the 16th, and Sunday the 17th. If Jesus died on Thursday, okay, instead of Good Friday, if you say Good Thursday, You have Thursday day, Thursday night. Friday day, Friday night. Saturday day, Saturday night. Rose early on Sunday, the first day of the week. You have 3 days and three nights. And it also fits with the Jewish Passover, because the Passover lamb was chosen on the 10th, was observed from the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th, observed for those days to make sure that he was pure and without spot or without blemish. And there's so much in the scripture with Jesus teaching and interacting with, you know, and he was bombarded. He was being tested and proved that there is no fault with this Passover lamb. And then he was slain on the 14th. The next day was a Sabbath. It wasn't the weekly Sabbath, but it was the special Sabbath. The day they left Egypt, the 15th, it was always a holy day. And then it happened to be back to back with the weekly Sabbath. And so if you count it like that, you still have a Sabbath the day after the crucifixion and death, but then you have another Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, and so you get 3 days and three nights. Does that make sense at all?
The Last Supper in
there? The Last Supper would have been... Now, it's a little bit confusing to us because their day started in the evening, okay?
Right.
And so their Last Supper would have started Wednesday night, okay? So let me just go through this a little bit. If the 10th, if Sunday the 10th, Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and the crowd picks him, this is the lamb. This is the Passover lamb. Then on Monday, the 11th is when you have the account of the fig tree, with the temple of the children. On Tuesday, the 12th, you have the account where he's in the temple teaching the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. And you also have this special account that Jesus says everybody needs to know about. It was 2 days before the Passover where a woman anoints his feet, preparing him for burial. And it specifically says, that he was anointed 2 days before the Passover. So we know that would have been on the 12th because the Passover was the 14th. That's in Mark 14.
Don't have some tablet.
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time, and you know it. That's right, I have a lot of hard times. But and I find this real interesting because, because Wednesday would be the 13th. Sunday's the 10th, and then Monday the 11th.
They killed the lamb on the 14th.
Uh-huh. And so Wednesday would have been the 13th. On Wednesday, that was the day that Judas agreed to betray Jesus, because it was the day after his anointing, and it really ticked him off that the woman wasted this expensive perfume on Jesus. In fact, it happened twice. A lady anointed Jesus' head, I think, 6 days before the Passover. And then this other lady anointing 2 days before the Passover. It makes Judas mad. And that happened to be, if it was the day before the Passover, that would have been the 13th, right? That's when Judas agreed to betray Jesus. Something else really interesting happened on the 13th day of this month in the Bible. Does Haman ring a bell? Do you know the date that Haman just happened to make the decree to kill all the Jews? It just happens to be on the 13th day of the first month. The very day that Judas agrees to betray Jesus, the day before the Passover, is when Haman executes his plan to kill all the Jews. Just like the day before the Passover is the day that Judas agrees to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And Passover begins that evening. So, remember Jesus has them make preparations and they go, and then that evening, Wednesday evening, for us, it starts their Thursday morning, or starts their 14th. That's when you have the Last Supper, that evening. That night they meet and they have the Passover Wednesday night, or which would have been the start of their 14th, our Wednesday evening, because we kind of do it a day and night, they do evening and morning. He did the Last Supper, the Passover. He washes their feet. He goes to Gethsemane. And what is special about that night with the Lord Jesus? He stays up all night long. He's in Gethsemane and he's praying. And he asks his disciples, come and, you know, I'm troubled to the point of death. And please stay up with me and keep vigil. Stay up all night with me. Because part of the Passover requirement, on this one night, the night of the Passover, they were supposed to keep vigil and stay up all night long because it was the night of the Passover. And then the next day, they were going to get out of here. That is what Jesus fulfilled to the T. He stayed up all night long and prayed, even though the disciples and everybody else slept. But he stayed up all night long in the vigil and fulfilling Exodus 12:42, even though the disciples slept. They arrest him. He goes through the trials, seven different trials. They crucify him. He dies. And he is buried that day, which would be our Thursday, the 14th. Again, 4 days after he was chosen on the 10th. And he dies on the 14th with the Passover meal that night. Up all night long. Trials early in the morning. He's crucified at 9 a.m. He dies at 3 in the afternoon. And before evening, he is put... He's put in the tomb. Now, what happens the day after Jesus died? Turn to Matthew. Maybe we already read this. Oh, yeah, we read this one in Matthew 27:62. The day after he died, the chief priests go to Pilate and say, hey, you know, guard the tomb, keep it secure for 3 days. So that was the 15th. The day after, they're going and say, hey, you've got to secure the tomb. The women also prepare the spices. Then the next day, which would have been the weekly Sabbath, Luke tells us that they rested according to the command. And then very early on the first day of the week, he rose. And this is, like I said, I don't know if this is controversial or not. I would say it's probably a minority position, but there's people that argue that Jesus died on Wednesday and some died on Thursday. The traditional most accepted is that he died on Friday because he died the day before the Sabbath. But if you factor in there that the day after the Passover was always a Sabbath, regardless of what day of the week it landed on, then it kind of solves that problem, especially if it was Friday, and then the next day was the weekly Sabbath. And so then you get your 3 days and your three nights, which would mean that our Lord was raised on the 17th day of the month. He was picked on the 10th day of the month. He was crucified and died and buried on the 14th day of the month. And then you go on, he was raised on the 17th day of the month. I think that is significant because in the wilderness, when Israel left, Passover on the 14th, they leave on the 15th. It says they make a 3-day journey into the wilderness to worship. On the 17th day of the month is when Israel worshiped in the wilderness at the waters. How many days did Esther fast after she heard about she heard about the decree that happened on the 13th day? And she hears about it on the 14th day. You got to do something about this. How long did she fast?
3 days.
And then what did she do? She goes to the king. If I perish, I perish. Maybe was it the 17th day of the month? The day of the resurrection that Esther goes and presents herself before the king to eventually get the lives of the Jews. And another really interesting 17th day. In Genesis 8, Noah and the flood, God kills everybody, right? Except for the 8 people on the ark. I forget how many days, and eventually the waters start to just go down. And it gives the date that Noah's ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat as the 17th day of the month. This happened to be the very day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The day that the Israelites, after being the Passover on the 14th and leaving on the 15th, and then the 17th day of the month, they worship in the wilderness. The very day that Esther, having been betrayed on the 13th, fasts from the 14th to the 17th, and then goes and presents herself to the king the very day, just fulfilling all the Passover that the Lord Jesus, chosen on the 10th, died on the 14th, 3 days and three nights later, raises on the 17th. A very, very, I would say, argue, a very, very significant a day and date. And so if you go with a good Thursday instead of a good Friday, you have 3 days and three nights. You also have a Sabbath right after the Good Thursday, which was the special, the high Sabbath, because the day after Passover was always a Sabbath. And it also fits in the timing of Jesus being chosen as the Passover lamb on the 10th, sacrificed on the 14th, and then being raised on the 17th. Again, it may be hard to follow those numbers without having a calendar in front of you. But in fact, I think last month, in the month of March, if you look, there was a Sunday on the 10th, and you can just count the days up, the 10th, and see the 14th, and see the, you know, and because we know those dates as far as with the Jewish calendar, that it had to be on those dates, the 10th, the 14th, the 15th. Those are set dates, regardless of the days of the week. But anyway, that's just a little bit on. So I would say Jesus was in the tomb 3 days and three nights, because I would argue that it was Good Thursday. But regardless of what day of the week, he died, and he was buried, and he rose again. There's just FYI for your own information. There was a big controversy in church history around the fourth century on when should the church, they wanted to observe Easter. Okay, and so I think it was the Council of Nicaea. There's a lot of good things that happened in Nicaea, but it was this big argument between, do you follow the Jewish calendar and do we celebrate the resurrection of Christ with Passover, or do we make sure that Easter always lands on a Sunday, because the Bible says he rose on the first day of the week. Well, they voted and they said that Easter should always land on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox, because they always wanted Easter to land on Sunday, because he rose on the first day of the week. And that's why you look at your calendar. Sometimes Christmas and Easter and Passover are real close, like this year. Sometimes they're weeks and weeks apart. You know, it's like, what's the deal? And that's because of what happened in the fourth century in the established church on when should we celebrate this. And they chose to do it on the Sunday after the first full moon, after the vernal or the spring equinox. And so that's why it doesn't always correlate with Passover. But anyway, that's just a little sidebar thing. Hey, y'all got any questions, any food for thought on that? Daniel has a nice little, he sent me something today. He kind of did a little thing to show the 3 days and the three nights with Lord dying on, well, what I would call a Good Thursday. But like I said, that might throw a wrench in some of your Good Friday things, but that's all right.
Why is it called Good Friday or Good Thursday? What's good
about it? Well, that would be a good question. I didn't really look at that, but I mean, it's the most evil day of the year in history man kills his creator. You know, who comes in the flesh. How evil can you be than to kill the Son of God? And yet, even though it's the most wicked day, it's also the most blessed day. Because without the death of Christ, our sins couldn't be paid for. So it's a little bit of both. But I don't know. That's a great question on why they call it Good Friday. I know they, you know, some traditions they celebrate, I guess, is it Monday, Thursday? The day, I don't know, they have, you know, there's certain things during all the days of the week and they celebrate. But I don't know why they call it Good Friday, but just maybe it should be Good Sunday. And but we do celebrate his death. Yeah, did somebody have something over here? Yes.
I listen to the R.C. Sproul quite a bit, if I'm able to actually follow, because it's so deep. And there's been a big expose on the Catholic Church recently. It went for about 2 months. And he says that, I can't remember what century, but it's like around the 3rd or 4th century that the Pope brought in a lot of this kind of stuff on Good Friday and stuff like that, and like this worship of Mary and stuff like that, to make a mockery, to take just enough of the Christian beliefs and make a mockery of it for that reason. And so this, and his belief is, based on some of the writings, was that it was good that Jesus was killed for them, and because he was, the Pope, who was the one who brought all this stuff in, was just unbelievably wicked and despicable. And he was doing it kind of like, what's the one that comes in the temple, does the thing on the altar?
Oh, Titus Epiphanes.
Yeah. He saw himself being one of those. I thought, man, that's amazing.
Yeah, if you know, you get into the church history and a lot of how our traditions have just kind of filtered down through the years and because we're in the West, the Western Church, the Roman Catholic Church, a lot of these things eventually, you know, came and just kind of became part of our traditions. And you know, there's debate back and forth how often should we question, some of these things, and people come in on both sides of the issues. I'm not real big on following the Catholic calendar, religious calendar, but some people are, and that's all right. You know, it's nothing to fight over,
I was a big time debater in high school, it was on debate teams, and my teacher said that if you are honestly about debates, you can take either side. He said you'll either find one of three things happen. You either believe totally that you're right, or you figure out that you're totally wrong, or you find out that you're partly wrong and partly right. And you know, I love it when somebody, if you can't challenge it, that's why Islam has such a hard time, because every time that they start getting challenged, they say, well, if you don't argue the facts and read it in Arabic, you can't do it. Well, that's like the Catholic Church did the same thing. If you weren't in Latin, they didn't believe that you were actually reading the right thing.
We are a people about truth. You know, God is a God of truth. Jesus is the truth. And we don't shy away from truth. And all truth is God's truth. And all this stuff should correspond with reality. And it should make sense. The thing with me on with Friday, well, how do you get 3 days and three nights? It's real clear. Well, how do you get 3 days? I was challenged on this years ago by an unbeliever saying, this is a contradiction in the Bible. You know, so it kind of made me, well, how do you get 3 days and three nights from if he dies on Friday, raises on Sunday? You can't make that math work. The Bible's wrong. Well, you dig in a little deeper and it says, well, you can make 3 days and three nights if you understand that the day after the Passover is always a Sabbath. And then it's a back-to-back Sabbath. And, you know, so, oh, well, there could be an explanation. I would say a plausible explanation. But some people argue that Jesus died on Wednesday, some Thursday, but the most prominent position is Friday. But I'm a nonconformist, so I go Good Thursday. But that's all right. Anything else? Like I said,
I think everyone would want one of these, so I'll make some more copies, okay?
Daniel put it all up there that where you can see the 3 days and three nights, because we know the times of the day that Jesus died, you know, and he also had put the dates, and those dates correspond to the current Jewish calendar, the 14th of Nisan. And it doesn't go all the way back, but if you count back, and so if you have Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the 10th, on Sunday, Palm Sunday, you know, that's when he was chosen, then he had to die on the 14th, and then the 15th was a Passover after. But it's a really interesting, just a very succinct way of looking at it. You can get a visual. But anyway, hopefully it's some food for thought this week as we have entered into Passion Week, a Passover coming up this week. I'm sure there'll be a lot of Good Friday services, and but just know that our Lord died, he was in the tomb, and he came out of the tomb. On the third day. Any other questions or comments before we close? So I hope I didn't bore you with some of those numbers.
I want to thank you for all the work that
that's
you've done.
That's fascinating.
I have learned so much this morning and this evening, and I love it.
Well, I was kind of kicking myself this morning. You know, things don't always go the way planned. It's like, man, it's almost Easter and I laid an egg. You know, but hey, it happens, and that's the way that it, did you like that, Bob? You know, but hey, you know, it happens. That's, you know, but the subject matter is always great. It's just the presenter doesn't always present it with the, with what it deserves. We always fall short, but you hate to fall short on such magnificent topics. But anyway, hopefully tonight was a little bit of food for thought, and about just the truth of Scripture, and maybe put a few of the pieces of the puzzle
together.
But why don't we close in prayer? Any does somebody have something else? Okay, we'll pray and then we'll get out of here. Our Father, Lord, we thank you that you love us. That for years and years you gave shadows and patterns through your people, the Israelites, to be woven into the fabric of their society that would point to the coming of your Son, who fulfills every jot and tittle of the law. Lord, we thank you that he kept it all for us and that he did come as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. We thank you for his sacrificial death, that we through faith can be buried with him and that we can have newness of life with him because he rose from the dead. Lord, give us that hope this week and the courage to share it with those that need it. In Christ's name, amen.